Tonight, deadly mosque attack. The death toll exceeds 300 in Egypt as authorities hunt for the gunmen who surrounded worshippers, firing from every window and door. Witnesses say there was no way out. Mysterious death. A 15-year-old boy is detained at the Canadian border after his grandmother's body is found in a shallow grave in Florida. Lots of unanswered questions tonight. Person of the year, President Trump says Time magazine told him he was probably going to receive the honor for a second year in a row. The magazine says, not so fast. Doctor's orders, the prescription for what ails you may surprise you with no medication involved. And senior living, but in this house, it's for the pets of a certain age, getting a new lease on life in their golden years.
This is NBC Nightly News with Kate Snow.
Good evening. Chilling new details tonight about the unrelenting terror attack on a mosque in Egypt. Witnesses are describing a horrific scene just as the imam was about to deliver a Friday sermon. More than two dozen children among the dead. Authorities suspect it was all the work of ISIS. On the Sinai Peninsula, militants have been bombing churches in recent months, but now an attack targeting Muslims. Our Bill Neely is in Cairo tonight, and a warning, some of the images may be difficult to watch.
This was a massacre of the innocents. 27 children killed, others injured, and like so many here, traumatized. Survivors described the screams as more than 300 people were killed. The chief cleric of the mosque saw a terrifying stampede. The gunmen, he said, were firing at anyone who breathed. A local teacher told NBC News the gunfire lasted 45 minutes. Authorities say up to 30 gunmen were firing through all the windows and doors. There was no way out. ISIS has yet to claim the attack, but it's the only group in Sinai capable of mobilizing 30 gunmen, who raised the group's black flag before opening fire.
It is the first time ISIS has attacked a mosque in Egypt, and there's deep anger here at a massacre of Muslims. But the real question is, will that backlash stop ISIS gaining ground here?
ISIS has lost its so-called caliphate in Iraq and Syria, but it's been gaining strength in Libya, Egypt, Yemen and Somalia.
The ISIS affiliate in Egypt is the most potent affiliate outside of Syria and Iraq. They have more than 1,000 operatives, skilled, fanatical, willing to kill.
After this attack, the dead were lined up as far as the eye can see and buried in a mass grave, hundreds of shoes left behind. Revenge was swift. Egyptian warplanes bombing vehicles reportedly used in the attack, but most gunmen escaped, none have been caught. So troops are on alert, even at hospitals treating the injured, where people ask why Egypt's army can't protect them. This was the darkest day of terror in Egypt's modern history. A country mourning tonight and facing the most ruthless enemy within.
And this country really matters. It is the Arab world's most populous country, nearly 100 million people. And there is a war here right now, and it's a war that Egypt's army and its leader isn't winning. ISIS here is a real threat. Kate?
Bill Neely in Egypt tonight. Thank you. In Florida tonight, lots of questions about the death of a woman and whether her teenage grandson may have been involved. What is known is that a woman's body was found buried in the grandson's backyard and that he drove all the way from Florida to the Canadian border. Carrie Sanders has details.
15-year-old Logan Mott in custody tonight after trying to cross the border into Canada. The Florida teen is a person of interest in the death of his own grandmother.
We need to interview him to discuss what happened at the home.
Mott was on the run for 3 days in her stolen car and was believed to be armed and dangerous with guns taken from his police officer father's arsenal. Florida police believe he was the last person to see his grandmother, 53-year-old Christina French, alive. On Friday, human remains were discovered in a shallow grave behind the teen's ransacked home. Investigators say Mott was first spotted in western Pennsylvania on surveillance video. He was then detained on the border in Buffalo.
It's not funny.
Logan's mother tells NBC News her son had a loving relationship with his grandmother, Christina.
He has a really big heart.
He's never said a bad word to anybody. So it's just baffling.
Logan's mother and father are divorced. His mother says her diabetic son's mechanical insulin pump recently stopped working, an imbalance in blood sugars that has caused erratic behavior before. But medical doctors say violence linked to high blood sugar levels is rare. Logan's mother says he loves the outdoors and is an avid survivalist.
My gut just tells me that he just ran. Like, his only thought was to panic and run and to take the guns and to go to the woods.
Tonight, more questions than answers into the death of a grandmother and a 15-year-old who may be the only one to explain what happened. Kerry Sanders, NBC News.
As President Trump tells it, he was in the running again to be Time Magazine's Person of the Year. He said so in a tweet that drew a quick response from the magazine itself. Kelly O'Donnell has the details.
Trump-style irony. A president who can spin up splashy publicity made more by rejecting attention, claiming he withdrew for Time Magazine Person of the Year, the very distinction he relished in 2016.
To be on the cover of Time Magazine as the Person of the Year is a tremendous honor.
A pop culture tradition unveiled on today.
When have we ever seen a single individual who has so defied expectations?
Last year, Mr. Trump cooperated with the magazine, but now he claimed, Time Magazine called to say that I was probably going to be named Person of the Year. Then he bristled, probably is no good, and took a pass. Since 1927, when aviator Charles Lindbergh was named, Time picks a person or idea who most influenced events, good or bad. The magazine disputed the president's tweet with its own and called President Trump incorrect. A top executive went further and tweeted, not a speck of truth here, but declined to provide details. While former Time editors say finalists have typically been contacted in advance.
Typically, the magazine has a number of candidates, so it works on multiple stories at the same time.
Time Magazine says it won't say anything else until it's ready to publish in a couple of weeks. Now, only once has the same person been named in consecutive years. That was President Nixon back in 1971 and 72. Kate?
Interesting. And Kelly, busy week ahead for the president. Republicans trying to push full steam ahead on their tax cut plan. Is that going to be a tough sell?
Very much so, with limited time left to get anything done in this year. President Trump is heading on Tuesday to Capitol Hill to try to persuade Senate Republicans. Not only is there hesitation in his party, there's hesitation in the public. He has to convince Americans that more of them will end up with extra money in their pockets, as President Trump had promised. And that is not yet a done deal. Kate?
Kelly O'Donnell tonight, thank you. And the president is making more headlines tonight with a move he made at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. The agency is supposed to be above politics, but tonight it's at the center of a big political fight over who will be its next director. Late today, the president called the agency, quote, a total disaster. Morgan Radford has that story.
Just hours after the agency's first director, Richard Cordray, stepped down on Friday, he promoted his chief of staff to a position that would put her in charge. But then President Trump fired back with his own appointment, saying Mick Mulvaney, the White House budget director, would oversee things, setting off a political firestorm. Mulvaney previously called the organization a sick, sad joke.
Some of us like to get rid of it because we don't like the idea of there being a non-accountable federal agency, which is sets a terrible precedent.
His now rival, Leandra English, was there at the beginning when liberal members of Congress like Elizabeth Warren created the agency in 2010 to protect against the illegal activity of big banks they say contributed to the 2008 financial crisis. The agency says it has returned billions to consumers and worked to simplify mortgages and other financial products.
We're making the home buying process easier, and we've made it safe for people to send money to friends and family abroad.
The agency has little congressional oversight and is independently funded through the Federal Reserve.
Is this agency isolated completely from Congress?
Well, they're funded by the Fed. So Congress, Republican Congress, certainly doesn't like that. So there's a lot of consumers and consumer groups concerned about how we're going to protect the average American.
By law, the deputy director serves as acting director until a permanent leader is named. The question come Monday, who will that leader be?
So during a call with reporters today, the White House said they're trying to avoid a legal battle with former director Richard Cordray, but they believe he's trying to provoke one. And when it comes to Monday, it looks like both appointees will show up at the office ready to report for duty, Kate.
All right, Morgan Radford, thank you. Much more on all of this tomorrow on Meet the Press. House Democratic Leader Nancy Pelosi, law professor Anita Hill, and Republican Senator Rob Portman all joining Chuck Todd. The Navy today released the names and photos of three sailors still missing after the crash of that transport plane in the Philippine Sea on Wednesday. The military notified their families that the search and rescue efforts had ended. Two of the sailors were from Florida. One was from Louisiana. Eight other passengers on the plane were rescued. The cause of the crash is under investigation. With President Trump's troop surge in Afghanistan, the number of Americans involved in that war is now at about 14,000, making the job of protecting those troops from Taliban infiltrators all the more difficult. And that is where a group known as the Guardian Angels comes in. Pentagon correspondent Hans Nichols is in Afghanistan and spent some time with them.
Flying above southern Afghanistan, the pilots alter their routes to avoid Taliban territory.
Obviously, some areas are higher threat than others.
President Trump decided to stay in Afghanistan. They've noticed an increase in car bombs. That means helicopter is the preferred mode of transport. After 16 years of war, the roads are still too risky.
The danger exists even inside this heavily secured base shared with the Afghan National Army. The Taliban have infiltrated Afghan forces in the past. In June, seven American soldiers were wounded in an insider attack at a base in northern Afghanistan. Three Americans were killed in a separate incident in eastern Afghanistan by an Afghan soldier.
The biggest threat currently to U.S. forces is green on blue, or Afghan on U.S. forces.
That's where Guardian Angels come in. Service members like Sergeant Benjamin Ransom, whose job is to watch over any gathering of NATO and Afghan troops.
The Guardian Angels provide security for advisor counterparts to be able to advise the ANA.
In southern Afghanistan, almost half of the NATO troops are Guardian Angels. They will need more to protect the additional 3,000 soldiers President Trump has deployed to Afghanistan.
We're bringing in a new U.S. Army unit called the Security Force Assistance Brigade. These will be advisors embedded in the brigades and battalions of the Afghan Army, similar to what we've been doing with the special forces for the last 2 years.
A third of U.S. deaths this year have been inside jobs. For Guardian Angels, that means keeping their body armor on and staying vigilant, even inside the wire. Hans Nichols, NBC News, Kandahar, Afghanistan.
It was an emotional day in Argentina, where relatives of those aboard a missing submarine held a demonstration in support of the crew members. The submarine has been missing for 10 days with 44 people on board. The president of Argentina says an international search will continue. The Navy says there was an explosion near the place where the sub went missing in the South Atlantic. Here in this country, they're bracing for more rain in western Washington, where flooding has caused major erosion on the banks of the Skagit River. Several houses were threatened. A shed was swept away. On Thursday, the river reached its highest level in more than a decade. And as the long holiday weekend winds down tomorrow, the Pacific Northwest is just about the only part of the country where the weather might cause delays. Look at this map. Remarkably clear in the rest of the country. Most of the country enjoying great weather, except for that rain in the Northwest and California, and a little bit of snow in northern New England. Still ahead tonight, when doctor's orders mean not staying inside, but getting outside to get healthy. Also, the Black Friday bonanza and how it all added up to staggering new wealth for one man. So imagine not feeling well, going to your doctor, and being given a prescription for something you can't find at a drugstore. It's a kind of natural healing you can only find outside. Our medical correspondent, Dr. John Torres, explains.
Blueberries, what other kind of berries do we normally find on this trail?
For Lauren Huddle and her family, a day like today used to feel impossible.
I have pretty bad anxiety and depression, too. I just wanted to stay inside and not do much, and it wasn't working. It was getting worse and worse.
Lauren's 9-year-old son was dealing with similar issues, so the Huddles family physician wrote them a prescription. Not for pills or drugs, but for a big dose of Mother Nature. Five times a week, spend 30 minutes at this park near their home.
I consider it more important than any medication I can prescribe.
It's a growing field of medicine called ecotherapy. Pediatrician Dr. Robert Czar started Park RX America, a national initiative which now includes more than 50 doctors in 11 states. Why not just go to a gym? What's the evidence behind going outside?
Scientists have actually looked at this, and what we've found out is that moving outdoors is actually better, more therapeutic value for your health than moving indoors.
Studies show ecotherapy can help patients with depression, attention deficit disorder, and chronic diseases like diabetes and high blood pressure. And for kids who now spend more time than ever staring at screens damaging their eyes, looking around at trees and leaves can actually protect their vision. So how do you get the most effective dose of nature? Patients should focus on three key elements: sounds of birds chirping, visuals of trees and leaves, and the sound of streams or rivers.
We're starting to see nature and parks not just as a place to recreate, but literally as a place to heal yourself.
Lauren Huddle got her prescription just 3 weeks ago.
Just going out there little bit, I noticed my temperament was better and my anxiety started to greatly decrease.
When good health is as simple...
Bubby's still going. Can you catch up to him?
...as a walk in the park. Dr. John Torres, NBC News, Washington.
Sound of water. When we come back, the long journey home for a man who never should have been sent to prison in the first place. The richest person in the world became even richer this holiday weekend. Amazon founder Jeff Bezos saw his net worth top $100 billion after Amazon's stock jumped more than 2% on Black Friday. That translated into a more than $2 billion bump in his net worth. Not too bad for one day's work. The fortunes of another man changed dramatically this week as well. After almost four decades in prison, he was pardoned by California's governor and freed after DNA tests showed he was wrongfully convicted. Steve Patterson has more.
It's my first Thanksgiving in 38 years.
For 70-year-old Craig Coley, it's the little things, like leftovers after Thanksgiving. Free for the first time in nearly 40 years after being convicted of a crime he did not commit.
This is what I told him. Do what you will to me, but don't stop looking. You've got the wrong person.
The Vietnam veteran was arrested in 1978 for the brutal murder of his ex-girlfriend Rhonda Witt and her four-year-old son. Wednesday, Coley was granted a full pardon by Governor Jerry Brown, citing new DNA evidence clearing him and citing mishandling by the original investigators.
Thank you, Governor Brown. Thank you, Simi Police Department.
In 1989, Detective Mike Bender started digging into Coley's conviction.
It appeared to me that things were intentionally ignored and manipulated and destroyed and distorted. You cannot read this case and feel comfortable about convicting him.
So for the next 28 years, Coley's case became Bender's life's work.
He means everything to me. He, his wife, they're my family.
Neither giving up until Craig came home for Thanksgiving.
I'm a living testimony to everybody out there that's having some rough times or having a bad day. You can't give up hope because it's going to happen. You have to believe.
Celebrating that newfound freedom, toasting the little things in life. Steve Patterson, NBC News, Los Angeles.
One more note on this day. Former President George H.W. Bush has become the longest living president in U.S. history at 93 years and 166 days. Mr. Bush beat out the previous record held by former President Gerald Ford. When we come back, looking out for the underdogs and so many other animals in need. Finally tonight, let's meet a man who has redefined what it means to adopt a pet. He provides them a loving home at a time when they may need it most and inspires others in the process. Katie Beck has the story from Denver.
Family portraits of Steve Gregg's harmonious herd have made him an Instagram celebrity.
Everybody has a soft spot in their heart for the underdog.
Well, underdogs in this case, nine of them, and three chickens, two ducks, a rabbit, and a pig. Festive, funny, tough, and tender, his account has captured more than 700,000 followers. At Greg's Denver home, it's hard to avoid the welcoming committee. But this modern menagerie accepts aged animals only.
How old is she?
She is 14.
Ranging from 7 to 17 years old, with names like Engelbert, Loretta, Etzel, and Bikini.
Each one of them has such a distinct personality.
After Greg's dog Wolfgang died 4 years ago, the accountant by day started adopting geriatric pets.
So I got one more, and then somebody brought one to my attention that really needed a home, and I'm like, okay, I can take that one.
Many online followers inspired.
And they said, because of your account, I adopted this dog.
The elderly do require effort. Most have special diets, joint issues, even cancer. And while he'll continue to save seniors, for now, he's got a full house and a full heart.
To know that this dog still has so much love to give just makes you feel so good. Let's go.
Making their final chapter the best one yet. Katie Beck, NBC News, Denver.
Love the welcoming committee. That is NBC Nightly News for this Saturday. Tomorrow, the first tally on just how big this holiday shopping weekend was. I'm Kate Snow. For all of us here at NBC News, have a great night.